Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Tom Evans, president of the Florida Flight Instructor Association and FAST Team lead representative from Tampa, Florida, who is today's host.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Managing Safety. This is the Flightline Internet Radio that's going 24/7. This is at the FAA Production Studios in Lakeland, Florida, and we're delighted to have with us Dr. James McManus, Jim's chair of the Seaplane Pilots Association. Jim, glad to have you with us.
Hi, Tom. How you doing? Nice to be here.
Fantastic. Now, when I think of seaplanes, the first thing that I think about is, what's the difference between float planes, amphibs, and seaplanes? If you would help our radio audience out there understand this as we talk, and ladies and gentlemen, we're glad to have you on the radio network. Jim, help us understand the difference, please, sir.
Great question, Tom. Those terms are used very interchangeably with both seaplane pilots as well as regular GA pilots and the general public. But basically, when you think of a seaplane, if you can picture a seaplane in your mind, it's essentially just a Cessna or any other type of GA aircraft that has floats on it. And that makes it a seaplane, but they're all seaplanes if they go in the water. But a float plane is a plane, again, a GA aircraft with floats. If it has no wheels on those floats, if it's just like skis, it's then called a straight float. You hear that term a lot in the seaplane community. A straight float means it can't go anyplace else but the water. But a lot of them have wheels on those floats. They're retractable wheels, just like on a GA aircraft that has retractable wheels, and this allows them to land in a runway as well, in an airport. Your hull type of airplane is an airplane sometimes called a flying boat. It looks very much like the hull of a boat, and in fact it lands on its hull like a boat does. And they too can be either just a straight seaplane, or they can be an amphibian, which means they have wheels on, and they can land in the water or on the runway. So that's basically the difference between them, but they're all seaplanes. They're all magic carpets of aviation, I think.
Well, also, we would just like to add that we're delighted to be a part of the FAA FAST team and the FAA Production Studios. And Jim, how are these programs helping your group and the pilots maintain safety out in the water?
One of our biggest missions, one of the most important missions, Tom, is certainly safety. Our unlike a regular GA aircraft that goes to an airport that's very meticulously controlled, many of them with control towers, all of them have fences around them. There's not too often any alligators climbing on the runways, and there's nobody running up and down the runways. The FAA does a great job of protecting us in those environments. But as a seaplane pilot, we're going out into areas that we don't have those kind of protections. We're kind of have to be much more vigilant, and training becomes extraordinarily important, as all aviation training is important, but particularly in seaplanes, because it is such a different environment. We have other people out there on our runway, so to speak. We have boaters, we have skiers, we have people on jet skis, people fishing, people in canoes. And we all have to share those same waterways. And to do it effectively, we need to all know the rules of the road and those safety precautions. And that's what you guys do very, very effectively. We're thankful for the FAA for the time they provide us, both here in Sun and Fun and at Oshkosh in their studios.
Well, I think to me it's fascinating. That's one of the ratings I want to pick up, I hope, pretty soon. And I understand there's becoming some conflict with local municipalities and government on where we can land the airplanes. So what's happening here, Jim? And help us understand this better, please.
Yeah. It's complicated, Tom, by the fact that whoever owns a given waterway, whether it be a lake or a portion of a river, or this is called the controlling authority, and it varies considerably, but that controlling authority gets to decide whether or not seaplanes are allowed. They make all the rules and regulations for that water body. For example, if I own a private lake, I can decide myself whether or not I want a seaplane on it or even a boat on it. It's my lake. If a city owns a lake, they also can make that determination. Or state or federal government, federal agency, which there's many of them. You got the national parks, and you got the fishing game, you got the Bureau of Reclamations. All of these folks own bodies of water, and they have different regulations on them. So to determine whether or not you can land in a given body of water, you have to find out, first of all, who owns the lake and what their rules and regulations are. And that's where the Seaplane Pilots Association comes in. We try to communicate with these people and distribute the phone numbers so it's not so difficult to find out. And we publish the only directory in the country that lists state by state every body of water that we have information on. And it tells whether or not that body of water is open or not, or closed to seaplanes. It tells who the controlling authority is and their telephone numbers and so on and so on and so forth.
Jim, it's all right. You can go ahead and give that website or that phone number, and maybe a few of us out here would like to learn more what's happening.
I thought you'd never ask, Tom. Thank you very much. That's www.seaplanes.org. And seaplanes is plural. www.seaplanes.org. And our toll-free number is 888-772-8923. And we'd love to talk to people who are either seaplane pilots or want to be seaplane pilots, or just people who love the idea of those magic carpets. You can go any place in the world.
Jim, how do you see production of the seaplane aircraft, the industry in itself, with these downtimes? Do you see them holding their own, especially areas around Alaska and Florida and the Keys?
Yeah, seaplanes are certainly not immune to the economy. That's for sure. It goes without saying. One encouraging hotspot, I think, or one encouraging area of the seaplane community is also the same one for GA, and that's the light sport industry. There's some beautiful, beautiful seaplanes coming out of the light sport manufacturers. I just came back from Sebring last week. They had the Light Sport Aviation Expo. And I was just amazed at all the really, really nice quality aircraft that are much lower in price than your typical GA airplane. And if someone doesn't have a license, it's much more much less restrictive to get that license.
And you're talking about light planes. What are we looking at weight here? And as long as we're looking at those numbers, give me the cost of the average floater amphib out there that a person might be interested in.
Yeah, in the light sport arena, you can buy a brand new aircraft now, about the same price as you'll buy a brand new boat. They'll start in around the $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 range, and they certainly go up from there. But I would say almost all of the light sport seaplanes are less than, this is going to be a high number, but it's less than like $130,000. That's a lot of money, without a doubt, but it's much, much lower than the conventional aircraft. You get into some Cessna aircrafts like the Cessna 206 or a 172, 182 on floats. Of course, the airplane itself, the value of that doesn't change. It's the same as it is in the general marketplace. But a set of floats can sometimes be as expensive as the aircraft itself. If it's amphibs, for example, they can go $100,000 without any trouble at all, and more than that in some cases.
And the weight, what are we looking at weight on these aircraft, Jim?
The light sports are in the category of 1,400 pounds or so. And that's the lower end of the range, and they go up from there. And
what has your organization found the seaplane pilot certificates out there? How many seaplane pilots do we have flying?
Wow, man, where do you get these questions, Tom? These are the most. Hey, but the reason I say that, it sounds like an easy question to answer, but there's almost nobody in the industry that can answer it definitively. The easy answer is, go into the FAA database, there's about 133,000 or so people who have a rating, a seaplane rating. But most of those people are not flying seaplanes on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
A lot of people go out just for the fun of them when they get their biannuals. By the way, a seaplane rating is about the most fun rating you'll ever get. A seaplane rating you can get in a weekend if you've got a couple hundred hours under your belt, and there's no written test. You just take your flight check, and it's magic. But I'm getting off the subject here. Help me, Tom.
I'm just wondering, as a host of this radio program, if you offer any discounts if the questions are easier. Tim, let's take a short break here and get back on the phones and the radio. So we'll break right now for a few minutes.
Now, let's rejoin Tom Evans and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to our portion of the radio. This is our radio flight line internet, and we just are so grateful for the FAA Production Studios and the FAST team for helping us and allowing us to put something like this together of subjects that I think of interest to everyone. I know myself. So my name's Tom Evans, and I'm back here with Dr. James McManus. We were talking earlier on the manufacturers. Who's the largest seaplane or amphib or floatplane manufacturer in our country and internationally?
Wow, that's a tough one. The Grumman Goose was a beautiful, beautiful, big old float, hull-type aircraft. Going back into the 30s, and they're bringing that back into production. There's a company up in North Carolina called Antilles Seaplane that is trying to bring that back into production, so it'll be exciting to see that. In fact, I think they'll be at Sun and Fun this year.
Well, that'll be a pleasure. How does your organization, like most organizations, what do you find that the FAA's main concerns are with seaplane? I know in land-based aircraft, it's takeoff and landings, which accumulate about 51% of all accidents. What about for seaplanes, Jim?
Yeah, for seaplanes, without a doubt, Tom, the leading cause of accidents is the amphibian plane, that is the float plane or the hull plane that has wheels, landing on the water with the wheels down, because it almost always results in a an upside down situation in the water, and they're oftentimes fatal.
Gotcha. And that's because you can hit your head, just momentarily become unconscious, and then drowned, literally, huh?
Yeah, you can certainly be trapped in the aircraft. We have some training available. It's called underwater egress training. That it's good for regular GA pilots that fly over the water as well as seaplane pilots. But it does teach you the procedures to get out of an aircraft that's upside down in the water where it's dark, it's cold, and it's very, very scary and disorienting.
Especially if you don't have all your faculties, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Really. And you're going to be at Sun and Fun at Lakeland. Tell us more about your program there, please, Jim.
Yeah, we always maintain a booth at Lakeland in one of the hangars. Ours happens to be in Hangar C, the middle hangar. But
say that again, Jim, so everyone can hear you.
Yes, we're in Hangar C at Lakeland, Sun and Fun.
Okay.
But we're also out at the lake. There's a big splash in out at Fantasy of Flight. And you'll see more seaplanes there than you ever see on a typical day anywhere in probably in the United States. Last year was the first year they had the Sun and Fun splash in out at Kermit Weeks' Fantasy of Flight. But they had over 100 aircraft, and they expect even more this year. The Seaplane Pilots Association is going to sponsor a dinner that evening at the splash in, so it's really something to see. If you haven't been around seaplanes, that's an excellent opportunity.
As mentioned earlier, I know I've got the bug. I want to try this thing out, the seaplane rating. How can the Seaplane Pilots Association help me out, Jim?
On our website, there's a tab at the top that says training. If you click on that...
Let me give us that website again.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you so much. It's seaplanes.org, www.seaplanes.org.
Okay.
And at the top of our homepage are some tabs, and if you click on the training tab, you'll see a map of the United States. And if you click on the map of the state you're looking for, it will show you all the training facilities, seaplane training facilities within the state, with the contact number and the address and everything you need to know about that place.
And you are the AOPA, I understand, of the water?
Yes, sir, AOPA of the water. The AOPA's main mission is to keep the airports open, and our main mission is to keep the waterways open. We are under attack like we have never been before, from the federal, the state, and the local government, that people are trying to close down seaplane access to the waterways.
This is interesting, the fact that we're always looking for help, especially for safety. And your magazine, I imagine there's some safety articles and issues in your magazine, and along with a membership into your program?
Absolutely. We publish Waterflying Magazine. It's the only seaplane magazine in the country. It's been called the National Geographic of Seaplanes because of the spectacular photography in it. But we do have articles on techniques. We have articles on destinations, you know, where you can go in your seaplane. We have articles on safety. Absolutely.
Jim, we sure appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen that are listening, this is Managing Safety, and this is Flightline, the internet radio. We're 24/7, and we want to say thanks again to the FAA Production Studio and Mr. Obi Young there, and of course our special guest on the radio here and the telephone, and Dr. James McManus, and we sure appreciate you helping us and understanding some of this. The programs with the Seaplane Pilots Association. Jim, it sounds like a lot of fun, and I think it's something that I would be interested in. If you had to leave us with just a thought or two, what would that be, please, sir?
Yes, sir. It's been said by someone a whole lot smarter than me that it's not how many breaths we take, but how many moments take your breath away. And we've always said that seaplanes are like that. Their magic and their beauty will absolutely take your breath away. Come on in and get your feet wet. You will never be the same. Come on in, Tom.
Great. Thanks, Jim. And ladies and gentlemen, this is Tom Evans here in Tampa with the radio program. Delighted to have you. Please listen in again. As I said, we're going 24/7, Flightline Internet Radio, and this is Managing Safety.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.